The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Welcome back. We're at the University of Kentucky, and we are here for one more hour. Mark Stoops joining us earlier, so many other great guests, and we thank you for being a part of it. Kroger Field. Used to go to Kroger's with my mom when I was a little kid.
A lot of friends in college who were stock boys at Kroger. We didn't have Kroger. We didn't have Kroger's in the Carolinas.
It was a good store.
It was great. When I went to Tennessee, I was introduced to the first, I think, super center grocery store I ever went into, and it was a Kroger. And
I only shopped at Kaz Walker's. Is that still around?
There was one called, like, the Brown Squirrel or something.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Knoxville, we had just had a call from there, and I was trying to remember this restaurant, and I should have waited for you to show up. It was close. I think I called it Chesterfield's. It's actually Chesapeake's.
Chesapeake's.
Yeah. Downtown. One out west Knoxville, too.
What I discovered when I went to Tennessee, and I'd never lived in Tennessee, I'd never lived in Knoxville, they took eating out very seriously in Knoxville, because it was Regis, and there was Ye Olde Steakhouse, where I took my wife on our first future wife on our first date, and I think it burned down at some point. Gus's Good Times Deli and
Ye Olde Steakhouse, and I know everybody hates when we start spinning the yarn.
Do they?
But that's where the things have changed.
Yes.
Friday night game. Haywood Harris.
Oh yeah.
And Bud Ford.
I was talking about those guys.
They would take riders to Ye Olde.
Yeah.
And it was
the best.
Yeah.
It was the best. I saved my money. You know my wife Erica. I literally met her my first week of college. It took me almost 4 years to convince her to finally go out with me. And I had saved my money. It took me that long to save enough money to eat it. It's still there. But it burned down at one point, and they moved
back. I'm not sure in all my years at Knoxville I ever took anybody out to dinner because I didn't have enough money.
Well, I worked for Bud Ford and those guys.
Yeah.
I saved my money. Yeah, I was literally having a Bud Ford, Haywood Harris conversation.
Yeah.
I love seeing our old school friends around the SEC because the people that I can drop names with, that's a smaller group than it used to be.
We used to, when I was a student, Ryan, they at the Hyatt.
Yeah.
And I stayed there a couple of years ago. I know it's still there.
It's up at the top of the hill.
Yeah, yeah, whatever it's called.
It's right above the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yep.
They would have a buffet for the out-of-town riders. This is before Ye Olde Steakhouse.
Right, wow.
And I would go, and then next week I'd bring a couple of friends. And literally by the end of at the end of the season, I had the whole sixth floor at Morrell Hall there.
You were a Morrell guy. All right. Yeah, I was a Grieve guy. No, that's what I started figuring out was.
That's why they went to Ye Olde Steakhouse.
Well,
it was cheaper.
We had the one guy on our hall, Big Richard from Memphis. And Big Richard had a job at Gus's Good Times Deli, which is my favorite hamburger place off the strip. And whatever, he would always overcook. And so he'd come walking into the dorm, you know, with two fistful of whatever. He worked at Mrs. Winter's for a little while. He'd walk in with literally an armload of fried chicken, and none of us had any money, and we just eat all night. So, yeah, you got to figure out how to work the deal. Haywood Harris, Bud Ford, and Gus Manning, who I think just turned like 98 years old.
Gus, I hope you're watching right now, Gus.
Yeah, me too. No, Gus, but you know, being a college student, you and I both, and getting to sit and talk with those guys?
I mean, what we're trying, and I know people are saying it's college football weekend, but you need to hear some of these stories.
Yeah. No, it's education is what it is. It's public service.
I'll never forget, I was a campus reporter, I was in the locker room, and Gus was in there handing out money. Gus, don't come out of your
this is the legendary, this is like the original sports information director. Was General Nealon's secretary?
I didn't realize that the players got, this is why Tennessee was always better than you guys.
Right. No, that's why it took from 1982 to whatever. Yeah. No, this is the way it was. Because they were doing that with the basketball players here.
Yeah.
So don't even. Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys want to go tit for tat, I'll go through some of the thoroughbreds that a couple of Kentucky players got back in the day. So he caught me looking at it. He said, meal money.
Yeah.
And I'm like going, that guy just caught the winning touchdown. That's not meal money.
Meal money. No,
it's
meal money.
It was legitimate meal money.
It was legitimate meal money.
Some players got more than others.
Per the rules. Yes. I just know that when Carl Pickens got his meal money envelope,
yeah.
when I was in school, it was a little thicker.
It was thicker, no doubt.
That the walk-on kicker got.
So let's talk about, since I'm sure all the consultants out there are saying we're talking too much about yesteryear, not enough about tomorrow. Let's talk about this game here first, because you have an overachiever in Mark Stoops.
Right.
I think you can do you can go the antonym.
I see where you're going with this.
Yeah. On the other side,
it's a guy who no matter what happens tomorrow night will have a job next
year.
Yeah.
Mark Stoops will be employed.
And there's a guy that I think is about to embark on the most crucial 4 weeks of his career.
But somebody said to me earlier, Ryan, and everything we know all this, but how could Coach O, with under 2 years from a national championship, if you're dropping in from Pluto,
yeah,
is that still a planet or not?
It's not, but it is to me.
Okay.
So, yeah. I believe Gus Manning probably.
I just wanted to use Pluto because I know Mercury, Venus,
right.
Mars,
gotcha.
All
yeah.
that. So if you dropped in from Pluto, and you said, how could somebody be calling in a talk show, suggesting that Coach O
right.
is in trouble?
Well, and I did a couple of radio interviews this week with just different ESPN affiliates as we led into this, and I had a couple of different guys say to me, but. You know, one of the greatest teams in the history of college football less than 2 years ago.
Right.
And, you know, this and that. And I said, you're talking about football things. And if this were just about football things, then I think that would be a very valid argument. But it's not just about football things. And I think that's the issue. And you got an AD that
– Yeah, got but,
I get all that. But I'm just saying, if
okay.
on paper, strictly football, I'm like, there's no way. If you're in a vacuum, take the names
but Ryan,
out of it, you don't know.
I agree with you 100%, but if LSU was undefeated, would I be asking you this question?
Probably not.
Okay.
But as you know, what you can't do, it's like you always said about the NCAA, you can't give them an excuse to get on campus because
right.
once they get
they
there,
find something.
They're
going
to find something.
Okay.
They're going to find something.
Yeah.
Once they put someone on a plane and they
right.
start going through file cabinets, they're going to find something. And if you cannot – losing gives someone an excuse to start digging through file cabinets. And suddenly things that weren't a big deal when you're 13-0 and rolling over Clemson become a big deal.
Talking to Ryan McGee about a number of things. But in Coach O's case, the argument for him is, yes, we all know what he did. People are watching his games week to week, though, because the schedule is brutal.
Yep.
He's already behind.
Yep.
That UCLA game just got the thing off to a ridiculously bad start,
yep.
and last week didn't help.
It didn't help. And also, you know, there are also those who jump up now and they go, well, that one year is, one of the greatest seasons in the history of college football any team's ever had. You and I both talked about, the LSU team hotel was across the street from us in New Orleans. It was the most
right.
electric. It's like the Beatles were staying there.
Yeah.
It was like 1968. But at the end of the day, now people are starting to bring up, well, what was his record before this? And what did he do at USC? And what did he do at Ole Miss? And so a lot of that's being dug up. And was that 1 year flash in the pan? I don't think it's fair, but I think that's what people are doing.
I even heard an LSU fan here yesterday say it was lightning in a bottle. But
right.
was it really?
Well, and that's the phrase everyone's going to use. Perfect storm, and it's Joe Burrow, and it's Brady calling the offense and all these things. And none of them are there anymore. And now – in my mind, one of the two or three best players in the country, Derek Stingley, is not going to be there. He's not going to be playing tomorrow night, so that doesn't help. And when things start snowballing, man, everything goes bad. Like everything goes wrong all at once. But it's and I hate it because there was no more entertaining figure. If Coach O was sitting here with us right now, we'd be having a great time. But the reality of the situation is what it is, fair or unfair, that's it.
No, you got – other engagements. We always hate to keep you, but it's always good to see you.
Hey, it's always great to talk about Gus Manning on national television.
Gus, we love you.
The man. The
We're back. Case. We're live in Kentucky. Where else would you want to be on a Friday night?
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We are back here live in Kentucky as we've still got some time going. Chris Doering joining us a little bit later on. Let's get to the calls here at 855-242-7285. Chris is in Oklahoma. Hey, Chris, go right ahead. See, this call's not going too far. Chris, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I sure can. Thank you. Chris, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
I'm sorry. Anyway, it's great to talk to you. Ever since OU and Texas decided to go to the SEC, I've watched you every day.
Well, thank you.
You do a great job. Of course,
thank you,
you
very
know, this
much.
This Saturday we have an incredible game in the Cotton Bowl. And, you know, that's just one of the most unique, exciting rivalries in football because it's in the Texas State Fair, and I love the way that that split at the 50-yard line where each team one color is red.
Chris, that is so unique right now. We don't have that very often. We have Georgia, Florida, but most of those games have gone by the wayside until 1989, which 30-some-odd years ago, the Alabama-Auburn game was always held at a neutral site, neutral being Birmingham, of course. But it is too bad. That is such a unique game, and I cannot wait. I've been to it many, many years ago, and I can't wait for those two to get in the SEC. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Jim is in South Carolina. Hello, Jim.
Thanks.
Jim, go right ahead. You're on the air.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can.
I used to live in Lexington, and I'm an Alabama graduate. And when I go to the ball games there, I'd be the only one sitting on a play or the only one standing on a play, depending on what happened between Alabama and Kentucky. Alabama and Kentucky have a lot of similarities. Can you hear me all right?
Well, they have some history, I'll say that, obviously, with Paul Bryant having coached at Kentucky. But what are the other similarities?
Well, when he was at Alabama, he needed a basketball coach.
True.
So he called Rupp up, and Rupp came to see him.
Right. You're absolutely right about that.
And then CM and Kentucky are only two teams that have won three straight basketball SEC championships.
Well, you mentioned C.M. Newton was somebody that was beloved, and we loved him on this program. And C.M. Talked about Coach Rupp all the time.
Yeah, and you heard what I said about the three SEC championships.
Right, sure.
Yeah. The other thing is Alabama beats Kentucky in football all the time, and Kentucky beats Alabama in basketball all the time. And
sure about that?
Alabama's, what'd you say?
I said, don't be so sure about that. Alabama's done okay against Kentucky lately in basketball.
Yeah, they've done better. And Alabama's won national championships in football, but never in basketball. And Kentucky's won them in basketball, but never in football.
Yeah, I think it's a good example of – yeah, and I think Alabama obviously is evolving in basketball. Alabama is a much better basketball school than I think the perception. But I do think historically, they are on the same level, whereas the importance of basketball in the Bluegrass State would be considerably similar to football in Alabama.
Exactly, exactly. And well, maybe this year might be a good year for
Maybe it can be
Alabama.
Reversed. Hey, yeah, thanks for the call. Eric is up next in Kentucky. Eric, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I'm a lifelong Kentucky fan, University of Kentucky graduate. I was there for the upset of LSU in 2007, but I was also there the next week when we had a big letdown against Mississippi State. So okay. I think a lot of Kentucky fans are just kind of waiting to see if this is the new Kentucky or, you know, it's going to be some of the things we've seen in the past. So I think this game coming up tomorrow night is going to kind of tell us where we're at for the next game. Hopefully going 6-0 against Georgia the next week. So,
well, I think you're right, and I think Mark Stoops knows that too. You could almost feel it when he was here a couple of hours ago. And if Kentucky gives this win against Florida back tomorrow night, it really will be too bad. Because I can almost guarantee if they blow this game tomorrow night, they're not beating Georgia. I mean, they will be regardless of what happens tomorrow night, they're going to be a prohibitive underdog against Georgia anyway.
I agree, Paul. Thanks.
Hey, thank you for the call. Really nice of you to be here. Mike is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Mike. Go right ahead.
Hey, it's me again, Margaret. How you doing, Paul?
Doing great.
Hey, this is the third time I've got in to ask a question. For some reason, it's dropped the call or I've got cut off. I need to know. I'm a big Tennessee fan, and I'd like to know if you can tell me what's going on with Harrison Bailey. Now, I'm a big Harrison Bailey fan, and these games that he's had a chance, he should have put him in. He deserves some playing time, but the coach wouldn't do it. Now, what's up with that?
Well, Mike, I think it's pretty obvious he's found a quarterback. So why would he? I mean, I'm not. I have nothing against Harrison Bailey, but I'm not sure why he would change now.
Well, he come in. You know, he come in when they got him. You know, when they signed him, and he come in. He was going to be our quarterback of the future, seemed to be. And now they got these other two. I mean, you know, they've been playing okay, but they've been hurt.
Well, thanks for the call, Mike. They just put 62 points on the board. Cat Daddy is up next. Go right ahead.
Big Paul, you looking good? You sounding good? Just got us some fresh shrimp out of McClellanville, South Carolina. We're having some big shrimp boil tonight. I wanted to call you and ask you, what game do you consider the biggest game coming up this weekend for yourself? Is it Kentucky or is it South Carolina, Tennessee?
Oh, I think the Kentucky game is far more important than South Carolina and Tennessee. I mean, I'm listening, Cat Daddy. Where I went to college doesn't matter when it comes to how I see college football, and that game is important for Tennessee from a trajectory standpoint to build up some momentum. But for South Carolina, I think right now just winning a game is important, but Kentucky has a chance tomorrow night to really make a giant leap forward in the SEC. And I think conversely, the game is critically important for LSU just from a quality of life standpoint. But if they can't win that game, then the Ed O story is just going to continue to exacerbate.
It's going to be a good game, that's for sure. But I would like to say one thing to all you NASCAR fans out there. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon, and go Gamecocks.
You can tell it's Friday night. How about Danny up next in Colorado? How are you, Danny?
Hey, how you doing, man? My name's Donnie.
Hey, Donnie.
How are you, sir?
Doing great.
You're doing good. Okay. Let me preface this conversation. I am a born and bred Alabama fan, and my wife is a Boomer Sooner fan. how do you feel and what do you think is going to happen when OU and Texas joins the SEC? Are they in for a rude awakening, or are they ready to hang with the big dogs?
Yeah, I don't know why anyone thinks OU and Texas will be in for a rude awakening. I mean, these are two of the best programs in the country. Oklahoma has played at an extremely high level. They've been in the playoffs probably about 70% of the time since the inception.
Absolutely.
And while Texas has not been great, it's still always relevant. So, I mean, they know what they're getting into. The SEC is very good, but, you know, after this year would not be applicable, but OU could have played in the SEC last year very easily, or any other year in the last couple of years. I mean, they may be a little down this year. They're still a top team, and Texas is getting better. I think Sarkisian was a really good hire, and if the Longhorns can win tomorrow, I think it puts this program into a different type of orbit than it's been in lately.
Okay, and the last question is, who are you going for tomorrow between OU and Texas? Who do you think is going to win that game?
Donnie, I have to tell you, I have not made up my mind yet. I'm probably going to end up with Oklahoma, although I'm tempted to go for Texas. I know that sounds like a wishy-washy answer, but I really I am still undecided on that game. I think Texas has a really good shot, which I wouldn't have said a couple of weeks ago. I am underwhelmed by Oklahoma right now. I don't know what's going on out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I do agree with you. Like I said, my wife's an Oklahoma fan. She was born in Norman, and I'm an Alabama fan. So we kind of go back and forth. But I will say that Oklahoma's got a strong team. And they always have, for the most part.
Well,
really, right?
They do. I mean, they always have a strong team. But I really thought going into the season that Spencer Rattler was the best quarterback in the country, and he's not even in the top 10 right now, based on the way he's played. Hey, thank you for the call. We are heading out to the break. If you want to give us a ring in the final few minutes, we can still grab you here at 855-242-7285. We'll get some predictions on the biggest games of the weekend from Chris Doering right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We are back. Great to have all of you here. Final 30 minutes in Kentucky as dusk has arrived on an absolutely gorgeous afternoon here in the Bluegrass. Let's head back to the studio, and we're joined by Chris Doering. Chris, thanks for the time. Let's start here to talk about some of the weekend's biggest games. We all know how important it is. We've been talking about it for nearly 4 hours. Break down this game for us.
Well, first and foremost, Paul, I'm jealous that I'm not there with you. I mean, Lexington's one of my favorite cities, and you look at what's going on. I've been leading this parade for the Mark Stoops train for a while, and you know, you're finally seeing it come to fruition. 6-0, they got over the hurdle against Florida, breaking that streak dating back to 86, losing at home to the Gators, and now you follow it up with another night game against one of the storied programs in the SEC. I talk about it every time I come on with you, I feel like, but I love the mantra that Coach Stoops had a couple years ago, you know, continuing to expand the capacity, doing things that they've never done before. Now they're in a little bit of uncharted territory. Only the this will be the, I guess, second time that Kentucky in the history of the program starts at 6-0 if they're able to beat LSU. So I love what they're doing. I love that they're pushing forward. And if you look at one of the telling statistics in this game, I think you look back at all the stuff that's gone on recently with Coach O and the doubters that are out there. But one thing he's been able to do is rally the troops. I mean, the guy's 14-1 in his time as the head coach at LSU, coming off of a loss. So this is not going to be an easy game. The problem that I look at for LSU is the offensive line, is the lack of a running game, is the fact that everything offensively falls on the shoulders of quarterback Max Johnson. And so I look at this Kentucky defense. They're incredibly talented. It's a much different Kentucky defense than we've ever seen in the past, with guys like Josh Pascal, who was all over the field last week against Kentucky. DeAndre Square has been tremendous as well. Jacquez Jones, the transfer from Ole Miss. So they've just got so many different players on that side of the ball that have really stepped up and made this one of the best defenses in the conference. And so to me, the question is, can you just continue to eliminate the turnovers, which they did offensively last week against Florida, only the one interception, a bad one by Will Levis, but eliminate that. And can you start to be more productive in the passing game? You had Chris Rodriguez on earlier in the week. I love listening to him talk. Obviously, the offensive line has been one of the things that has really led to this ascendance of the program and being able to run the football. But you thought you had that piece after the ULM game. They need to get back to being able to create some explosive plays and get the ball to Wandale Robinson a little bit more. But I do think this is a win. I was surprised, that honestly, Paul, that Kentucky was not favored by more when I saw the initial point spread come out.
So Chris likes the Cats here, and that will go over well with many who are cheering for Kentucky. Arkansas is at Ole Miss. I mean, both these teams struggled last week, and the winner of this game still has some hope. The loser has got some soul searching to do. What happens in Oxford tomorrow?
It is really difficult to tell, right? What's the mindset coming out of two very disappointing games, two very high-profile games that you felt like you were ready to take that next step? In both cases, it looked like they were not quite ready for prime time yet. So I look at this game being at home for Ole Miss, an opportunity to get the fans back rallied and have some fun and get that taste out of your mouth. I believe in this Ole Miss team. Obviously, I believed in them last week and they let me down, but I believe that they are an improved defense from what they showed last week. I believe that they are a very difficult offense to stop if you're not named Alabama. I do think that Matt Corral still continues to be one of the best quarterbacks in the country. I just don't think that Arkansas can score with Ole Miss. Now, granted, I want to see the Ole Miss defense tackle a little bit better than what they did last week. The yards after contact for Brian Robinson were ridiculous, and we know the physicality of the run game that Arkansas utilizes. The other thing I look at, Paul, is how much did Matt Corral learn from the blueprint that was put in place for how you defend this offense, how you defend Matt Corral, dropping eight into coverage. He showed very little patience last year in throwing those six interceptions, but one thing he was adamant about in the offseason was how much he learned from that game, and I think he'll be better for it. I think they'll run the ball better. I think he'll take some checkdowns. I honestly think his legs scrambling when there's nothing there if they're dropping into coverage is going to be key in this game too. So I'll take Ole Miss, although I'm not very confident with either of them because I'm not just sure where their mindset is after two disappointing losses last week.
Speaking of mindset, we've heard from many, many Tennessee fans this week who really feel great, and it's been a long time since a Tennessee fan has felt that way. South Carolina shows up tomorrow. That, of course, is a very early game, a noon kickoff in Knoxville.
I love where Tennessee is right now. I love, the fact that I was probably wrong. I was a doubter about Josh Heupel, the fit there, whether or not that offense would translate to a lot of success here in the SEC, and it has. I mean, you look at the tempo and the stress that puts on a defense. You look how they've been able to kind of become more of a well-rounded team. I think Hendon Hooker taking over that job and what he's done, 10 touchdowns passing to only one interception. He's been able to protect the football really well. His decision-making, he's been able to hit some of those deep throws that Joe Milton didn't early in the season. So I like how the offense is evolving. And I think you talk about styles make fights. The matchup is just bad for South Carolina because you look at the numbers, only 79 scholarship players. They have issues in terms of depth at the linebacker and in the secondary positions. And I think the tempo that Tennessee is going to play is going to take a toll eventually on South Carolina. I like where they are in Shane Beamer's first year. I considered this to be year zero, the fact of all the losses and attrition in the roster to the transfer portal. But I think Tennessee, to me, is maybe one of the most surprising stories of the season so far. And we're not only talking about a team now that has a chance to be bowl eligible, but I think they could get to 7, maybe even 8 wins if they continue to evolve. So I like Tennessee tomorrow.
Chris Doering with us, of course. And let's get to the big game tomorrow at Jordan-Hare Stadium. The Dogs, after major beatdown, take on the Auburn Tigers coming off of a big, big win at LSU.
Isn't it amazing, Paul, first and foremost, we said the big game, and I was thinking in my mind we're going to start talking Alabama and A&M. That's maybe the fourth best game in the conference this year, and obviously it was the one everybody was looking forward to on primetime on CBS. But, yeah, you're right. I can't wait to see how much confidence that this team now has in Bo Nix after the performance last week, going into to Tiger Stadium, winning where much better teams and much better quarterbacks have failed. It's got to be a big confidence boost for him. I love the sense of urgency that he played with in that ball game, the way that he put the team on his back. But this is not the LSU defense they're playing against. Georgia's defense is the best in the country, maybe one of the best of all times in college football. The one place I look at where maybe they have some susceptibility is in the secondary. They haven't necessarily played the ball in the air very well at times. They've given up some 50-50 balls. But I just don't see any receivers for Auburn that really scare me. And you're not going to drive consistently 80 yards, 11 plays down the field to score touchdowns against this Georgia defense. So you have to have explosive plays. And I don't think they come in the run game. And I don't trust the receivers outside to make those plays. So I think it's a couple touchdown point spread. I think that that Georgia ends up winning this football game rather easily just because I don't think that Auburn can score on the defense.
Some of what you said could be moved over to the next game, and that is the final game, the one that we all thought we would be talking about obsessively. What can A&M, what can they prove tomorrow? What is at stake for them? Because it certainly doesn't appear they're going to win this game.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's odd, isn't it? Talking about in the offseason, all the focus from the Texas A&M folks was beating Alabama. They're ready to get over that hurdle. They pointed to the second half of that Alabama game last year as being able to go toe-to-toe with them. What that was Alabama losing their focus after being up by a large margin at halftime. I don't think they were ready to beat Alabama last year, and I certainly don't think they're ready to beat Alabama this year. Obviously, the offensive line is not what it was last season. They're not able to run the football. All the pressure's on Zach Calzada, and he's a little bit erratic at best. So I don't think that they have what it needs to be competitive in this football game. I know the game's in College Station. I know that that they feel like they were ready to go, but this is a game where they're going to get exposed. And unfortunately, this is not the NFL where you can go out and sign free agents or you can make trades. It is what it is on offense. And I think, unfortunately, for A&M fans, they're just going to have to weather the storm for the rest of the season. And that comes with a beatdown tomorrow.
Well done. Chris Doering joining us from studio as we begin to wrap things up here in Lexington. We'll head to the break right now after speaking to Chris. And if you want to give us a ring, your final chance to do so is now, 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Let's get to the calls, and Gary is in Las Vegas. He's first up. How are you, Gary?
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Oh, I'm great, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank
yeah,
you.
I have a question about South Carolina. I graduated at South Carolina in 1984. And outside of just a couple of flirts with the big time, and the latest being Spurrier years, and then before that, Morrison in the early 80s had them kind of knocking on the door. I know the fan support is there, and the support is there, but why can't the Gamecocks ever get to the promised land?
Well, I think the key to do that is a level of consistency, and I don't think they've had that. You mentioned Spurrier. Even you know Spurrier had it going, and I think he let his foot off the pedal a little bit in recruiting, and it caved in. Muschamp just never had it going. Beamer has a chance. I mean, by no means can I say he will be a great success. I think that's just being Pollyanna. But it's all about recruiting, and you have a fairly narrow window to build your recruiting base up. You have to start winning some games. You have to. Let's look at Josh Heupel, for example. This week it's been all about the Tennessee Vols. That helps in recruiting. And, you know, they win a couple more games, and they do what Chris said a minute ago that he thinks they can do. And that is the basis of a program. But to build a successful program, you have to have a foundation. And too many coaches never build that foundation.
Right. Yeah, it just seems like over the years they'll have a, you know, back in the early 80s, they were kind of knocking on the door, and then they were down for years.
But, Gary, let me say this to you. There is no excuse for South Carolina not to be successful. You have Clemson doing what they're doing right now. And
that hurts. Yeah.
I don't think there's any reason why Clemson can be successful and South Carolina, you know, isn't. I mean, it was South Carolina was winning, had won five straight against Clemson. It's not they're both in the same area of the country, passionate, but ultimately South Carolina has the facilities out for a long time. Maybe that was a problem. It's not a problem anymore. There are no excuses. Hey, thank you for the call. Tommy is in California.
Thank you.
And you are next up. Thanks, Gary.
Hello, my name is Tommy. I'm 9 years old, and I'm a huge LSU fan.
Well, great to hear from you, Tommy. Thank you.
I want to talk about Coach O and how it's bothering me that he might get fired.
Okay, well, what do you think should happen, Tommy? You've obviously got a lot of experience watching LSU football.
I think maybe they should hold on to him for a couple more years, and if he keeps losing games, maybe release him.
So by no means, Tommy, if I'm hearing you correctly, and I'm pretty sure I am, you don't think he should be fired?
No.
Okay. Tommy, for Coach O's sake, I hope you're part of the committee that makes the decision here in a few weeks. Hey, appreciate your call very much. Dwayne is up next in Florida. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Welcome to the greatest state in the planet. We're no longer known for basketball anymore. It's Kentucky football. Do you think after this game with Florida that Kentucky finally is getting the respect they deserved all year?
I think they will, and here's what I think is the reason for that. And, you know, in our business, you always look ahead to see what's next. And if Kentucky wins the game tomorrow night, next week, from where I sit, the UK-Georgia game will be the biggest game in the country. There's not a lot else going on. And that's what Kentucky needs. I mean, the only time I can say Kentucky has been in a similar situation was 3 years ago. There was a game, I'm trying to remember where the game was. I think it was in Tuscaloosa. LSU played Alabama at night, and Kentucky and Georgia played here in the afternoon. Those were the two big games. But Alabama's game was a little bit larger. But if UK goes into Georgia undefeated, that's it. That's the game. And that's what a program like this needs. It needs the country's eyes on you. It needs attention. It needs publicity, because that translates to all the key things that matter in college football.
I've been on this Kentucky bandwagon all since the beginning. I predicted a 11-1, 12-0 season. I think they can beat Georgia in Georgia. That's just my opinion. I'm a big Kentucky fan. I think they got what it takes this year to beat Georgia in Georgia.
Well, Dwayne, I'd like to see what happens 25 hours from now before I would join that party. But I think a win over LSU, especially a convincing win, would give this program a lot of confidence. But the issue for Georgia, their offense is pretty is really been dealing with a lot of injuries, but their defense is just downright stout. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Jeremy is up next in Virginia. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, brother? We spoke as I was driving down I-81 heading to the Missouri game with the family a couple weeks ago and almost peed my pants when you put me on national air. Don't know if you remember that or not.
I do, yes.
I tried to get through last week. We drove back to the Florida game, and I'm going to tell you, man, that was an amazing game. The crowd was pumped like nothing I've ever seen before. I had the whole family there this time, not just the boys, and what an amazing moment. It was great.
Well, yeah, I mean that's where we are right now with this program. I'm really glad you, got a chance to experience that.
Well, hey, I got a couple things real quick. I just edited your Wikipedia page to make sure you said that you know nothing about SEC basketball. No offense, but Kentucky is 114-40 against Alabama lifetime. And 12-3 since 2014. Now they did take two losses last year during the COVID year.
Well, that was my point. And you know, he was acting like I understand that. I respect the Kentucky history, but last year was not UK's year. That's not a big surprise. Hey, thanks for the call. We are out of time. Thanks so much to all of you for being here.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.